Wafting across the pastoral vistas of the new basement studios by the lake, this is the Atlantic Voice Podcast, 3,000 miles of opinion.
This is Atlantic Voice Podcast. I'm Zeph.
And I'm Eric.
Down in the new basement studios by the lake, this is the 2016 Christmas special.
Yeah.
Drum roll, please.
Presumably two parts, assuming we go as long as we expect to. So,
what we do, we like to sort of double up and give you all something to listen to over the holidays. I know this for part one will come out probably just before Christmas. Part two will come out just after Christmas. And I know you're always a big fan of providing something for our listeners to listen to while they're in their car or at grandma's
driving,
house,
traveling, or, avoiding family, all the important things when you might need a podcast or stick your phone, headphones on your head to
get
avoid
away from
people.
Family. Yes. And of course, being Christmas, it's a Christmas show and I need to put on my Christmas sweater.
Oh, yeah. It's not even on yet. You've been like fussing with it over there for a little while.
And then also because it's radio shtick. This is the first time ever that I've worn a Christmas garment. So, and we will post a picture of me in it. And it is, if you'd like to describe it to our listeners.
Well, it's a gray sweater. It's not like it's not a stereotypical, you know, pattern type of thing. Instead, it's a bunch of, well, it's Santa, and I guess those are elves, or are those just other Santas?
Well, these other characters wearing green. Some presuming they're like workers or, I mean, elves or other.
Yeah, but they all have beards.
Well, I mean, I guess that's the trend, isn't it? You don't want to be the odd one out.
Well, you're right. They're a bunch
Elf Jeffrey's not doing a beard this year. Ooh, what's his problem?
Well, they're Brooklyn-based elves, and they're all, hipster elves or something
that. I was given this in a Secret Santa thing, which I know is something we're going to talk about.
Right.
And someone said to me, the person, I didn't actually get it from the person because I wasn't there. So someone else gave it to me, and they said, here are the batteries in case you need them.
Yes. Well, now you're giving away the most
important
part of it.
Well, and that's the thing. I'm like, batteries? So I'm now going to...
Oh, I see. This is fabulous. Oh, they're even like color-shifting LEDs in place of... Well, they're like snowflakes. Oh, look, it changes patterns.
I guess, and it's just
like
going on something.
This might require like a video rather than camera type of thing. But so if you hear...
Oh, I can see myself reflecting in the screen of one of our computers here in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm part of the equipment. I've come alive. And again, this is only a big deal because I never do anything like this. And I would never wear this again. Sorry, person who gave it to me. But I want you to know, I may not wear it again, but I probably will re-gift it, as you can see there.
Plus, this has your... Usually, we don't have your face in it, although people can find you.
Well, elsewhere. I will cover my face with a Christmas catalog, because that's what we're going to be doing in this show.
And it's even got a Darth Vader on it.
The front. So there you go. So I'm going to let this play, at least till the batteries run out.
or you catch fire or something.
Yeah, I'm a bit worried about that. And someone did give me... The person who passed on the gift to me said, here are two spare batteries.
The person who passed on.
Yeah. These are two more batteries in case you need them. But because, you know, have you ever seen those little flat disc batteries that tend to be in things that, you know, you never keep those batteries
like little button batteries.
Yeah,
like,
but you never keep those in the house. And then you're like, oh, I need to go out and get you know.
I got a bunch of those for 3D glasses, right? So the 3D glasses take those things. And, you know, everybody has a 3D TV. They watch like two things in 3D and then they ignore it. And so when I came back to the glasses, like, you know, a year later, all the batteries were dead. And so I ended up buying like a whole bunch of those batteries off of Amazon. I'm just like, I'll just pull them out whenever you're going to watch a movie for it.
Well, here's the interesting thing. I do not keep all those in the house. So the fact that someone, the Secret Santa, gave me two spare batteries, I'm going to keep those batteries and they will be put to good use. But I'm not going to waste them now wearing the sweater. So in a strange way, my Secret Santa gave me two penny disc batteries.
Yeah.
Not a very exciting gift, the batteries, but a very useful gift.
Yeah. Well, that's a fabulous sweater. This was when I first got this. This was like a new thing, was these t-shirts that are patterned like a Christmas sweater. So it has like all the little V's as if it's stitching. I now see them all over the place, so it seems like less of a big deal.
Can I say something to you about that?
Yeah.
I understand looking at it that it's supposed to look like it's stitched in there.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's all V's, it looks sort of almost computerish.
Well,
do you know what I mean? Have you ever seen
when people used to in their emails, you know, you would type all the little characters and it would make a picture.
It looks like that.
I think that has a name, but I can't remember what it is.
Well, it's like camouflage. Have you ever seen like modern camouflage? Modern camouflage is just those square designs,
right? Digitals.
What's the name of that game that the kid Minecraft?
Yeah.
Whereas back in the day, camouflage was like sort of shapes and blobby. Yeah, so there you go. So yeah, but that's,
there's no telling whether that's better or just somebody decided it was easier to manufacture it that way.
So anyway, this is our Christmas show. And we decided we had a lot of angst this year coming up with a Christmas theme. And then all of a sudden you
Which, of course, is because we've done a lot already. Yes. I don't know if you ever did what I was talking about re-releasing the old episodes.
No, I haven't done that yet. Okay. And I'll decide how long. When we decide how long this one is, we'll either give you two parts or we'll give you this episode and an oldie.
Okay.
I don't want to burn the oldies.
Yeah, but you can re-release them, like, and put them into... I mean, people can find them anyway. They can find them. If you want to go to the website, you just go back to December of each year and download the old episodes, which were, like, about foods and movies and songs and, you know, we judged all these things. But once you've done all that those things, we were kind of running out of... you know, there's only so many Christmas-related traditions, and so... one of the most popular Christmas traditions is shopping and gift giving, and the onslaught of catalogs in your mailbox.
Yes.
Like, I don't know how many you're getting, but we'd go days, but like the entire mailbox would be like, you know, if you stacked them up, it'd be an inch and a half, 2 inches thick of catalogs coming in a given day.
Yeah.
And they all, the same ones come every couple of weeks. And I guess they're not exactly the same, but they rejigger the pages or something like that. And I think as soon as you order anything from any one of them, your name gets sent around, you know, the list gets sold off to the other catalogs. Plus, half the company is probably owned by the same company anyway. Ooh. And you just end up getting catalogs for things you've never ordered from. Possibly, or even be thinking of it, but they come in and...
Well, I'm not going to lie, I don't get as many Christmas catalogs now.
Well, you're going to get more now, because you got more people in the household.
Well, no.
It's more people on the email
there
list.
There are more people in the household.
Mail list.
But what happens with people in the household is, when the mail comes in, the mail gets completely diverted, and if the catalog physically doesn't have my name on it, it never gets to me.
You didn't just set off your car alarm, did you? You pulled your keys out, and it makes me nervous that your car alarm is going to be going off again.
I've pulled my keys out to ensure that doesn't happen.
All right.
But if it's happening now, I guess the phone will... If the phone starts ringing...
The other member of the household is not home, and so this will end up with somebody knocking on our back window. But
maybe I'll run out of the studio in a moment, and we'll do a quick one of those pauses. No, and like you, I do the vast majority of my shopping for specific things online.
Yeah.
And I do find, while I don't get a lot of catalogs anymore... I have a couple of different email accounts, like so many of us do. Personal email account, there's a show email account, I have my work email account. I am bombarded with emails. And I know it's not quite the same.
Oh, we get more catalogs than emails. I mean, but I think you end up getting the catalogs once you order from someplace.
Yes.
If you order everything for Amazon, you're not going to get a bunch of things. But if you order from a particular seller, retailer, and they have a catalog, you go, you know, when you put in your shipping address, that goes into their database, and they start selling you catalogs, sending you catalogs.
Yeah. So
some of them are quite entertaining, which is the whole point of this stuff. And so we're going to use those as our launching pad for giving each other, well, not actually giving each other, but pretending to give each other gifts.
Yes. And no doubt along the way, in classic Atlantic Voice fashion, we will end up going down some cul-de-sacs of other things.
I imagine so.
Intentionally. But this is, for those of you out there, this is a Christmas show. We are both wearing Christmas attire. You're drinking out of a wintry... snowman mug.
Yep.
So let's not have any illusions. Well, we're not sort of, you know, this is Christmas. So we keep saying that, like somehow it's going to make the show even better.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So I think I've arranged to get you more gifts than you have. So I'll
definitely
probably go first.
Well, I think because obviously I'm a bit of a minge bag and I actually don't like Christmas.
Right.
I don't mind not. I have two things about Christmas, and I know we covered, I think it was on last year's show where we did the best of Christmas, and there was one segment where we talked about the best gifts we received and the worst gifts we received. So this is not a new thing. I don't like getting gifts that I don't really want. And I'm a very specific type of person.
This is perfect event for you then.
I want things. And what I mean by that is, if I'm looking for a new Blu-ray player, that's what I want. So if someone gives me a automatic garage opener, I'm like, yep, I don't want that. I don't need that. I only shop, only want what I need.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, I'm more than happy not to. Just give me some cash.
But sometimes
cash
you don't know what you need. But I will say, see, when you say you want a Blu-ray player, you probably don't care what Blu-ray player it is. You just want a Blu-ray player.
No, I do. I'm very specific about what I need.
Oh, really?
So what I'm saying is, if you were to shop...
But at that point, there's no point. So that's why one of the things I was going to talk about during this, and we're already up to it, is when it comes to technology gifts, from my perspective, I don't generally push for those because I end up being, it's too specific what I want.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm to say to somebody, oh, I'd like to get a smartwatch. Well, and this isn't a particular one, and I figured out which one I want. And so
I don't want the idea
of having, I don't mind if somebody gets it for me, but it's not going to be very surprising if I'm literally like, oh, I would like this particular item in this configuration and this model number from this manufacturer. Then it's just a, it's just an item that somebody has bought for me.
Yeah, I mean, if you show up at my house with a case of beer, I'm like, that's great. Right. Do you know what I mean?
Well, as I say, the other side is like clothes, like, and that's because you have to like live with the technology and it's fitting a particular purpose.
But I'm a
pair of pants is a pair of pants.
I'm a specific person, and I think Christmas, unfortunately, and to the point, you sort of touched the note there. Christmas is about unwrapping things, and oh wow, isn't that great?
Yeah.
And I do find it a bit weird when you're like someone tells you what they want. And then you go and get it for them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, you know, here's $100. Go and get it yourself. What do I need to go to the store for? Why do I need to muck about with ordering it online?
And therein and is Zeph's approach to the holidays.
Christmas is a lot of hassle. It's a lot of unnecessary hassle. And I'm like, you know.
You better just cancel it.
Well, you can't cancel Christmas, but you can opt out. And I've been trying for many years as an adult to opt out.
Yeah.
So, I guess, as it is, I've only got a list of about 5 or 6 gifts.
All right, so I'm going to go first. Anyway,
all right, let's do it.
So, first catalog, I guess this is the way we'll do it. This is out of Pajamagram.
I've never heard of them.
Well, they sell pajamas.
Okay.
You know, and that's their thing, Pajamagram. Season's Greetings 2016, home of the world's softest pajamas. This is not the only one. They have a lot of family-themed ones. And so okay. I was thinking, now that you have these extra members of the household,
yes.
You could get, it's I'll put it out here so you can see it, Nordic Hoodie Footie, meaning it's got hooded and it's got feet.
It's What's like, it called?
It's a onesie. Footy? Nordic Hoodie / Footie, trademark. There's a little trademark minor, so they must have invented
it. I don't want to
matching family pajamas. And so they're all in like, it's like a gray with like snowflakes. And, you know, it's not too bad looking in terms of hoodie footy pajamas. But I like the fact that there's a family thing. And I just figure there's zero chance that you would wear matching pajamas with your family.
Yes.
But
there's less than zero.
I also thought there was zero chance you'd be wearing a Christmas sweater that lights up. And so, who's to say that this couldn't happen? There's a number of other family options that are even worse. Like, they have a set here that's the kind that has the, you know, the opening in the butt, like the classic red long underwear. No, like the button up. I think that's how you put them on, right? Because how do you get into the thing otherwise? These have a big, like, zip down, so you step in the top. But you know what I mean? Like, it's the stereotypical, you'd see a kid with the red pajamas and the little square around the butt with the buttons.
Okay, I'm not going to
give a whole family in this.
I'm going to give you some serious reasons why I don't like that gift. Some serious reasons.
Of course, there's serious reasons why you wouldn't like the gift.
Well, no, but they're not going to be reasons that you think of.
Okay.
I don't like, the only time I like to match up and below is when I'm wearing a suit. So the jacket is the same material as the trousers. That's why I don't like one. For example, if you gave me blue pajama bottoms and a green sweatshirt, I'm putting that on. But if you gave me blue pattern pajama bottoms and the same blue batten top,
yeah, but
I'm not wearing them together.
But it's basically an overall, so you don't have a choice here. It's all one piece. It's like
if you were
on the roadworks crew,
I understand.
You know, and they have the onesie type things. It's not like they get them mismatched.
If I was on the roadworks crew, I would find a way to wear my high visibility jacket at all times, so I look to other people. Yeah,
you know, when we were in Scotland, I noticed a ton of people when we were in Scotland. The roadworks folks all wore particular outfit, and it was all these, like, I think they were dark blue, or not dark blue, like a bright blue,
okay,
like onesie type, like it was an overall basically, and covered your whole body.
That wasn't I think that was the prison.
No, I assume this is all part of England funneling money up to Scotland,
yeah,
so that they won't
leave.
And so there's a lot of roadworks crews out there.
So these things, they're gray, they've got little snowflakes on them,
yeah,
but they have a nice little red trim around the top and everything. I also don't like having the trousers and like feet attached.
Well, yeah, no, that's weird. I wouldn't want to do that. I mean, because then if your feet get hot, you can't really get them out unless you completely undress.
Or being Christmas time, if you stumble around the house and you stand in something and then your feet are wet and you have to go and change your whole outfit because you stood, someone spilt some maple syrup and you stood in the maple syrup at breakfast, you've now then got to walk around all day with this whole One Piece thing.
There's a lot of glare on these pages. I'm trying to take pictures because we're trying to figure out if we can like put pictures from the catalog, but it's really not working that
well. No, good looking family though. Yeah. I will say, yeah.
They're sort of...
They seem very happy.
They're of some ethnicity, but non-specific. Like it's... They can like be whatever.
Slightly, you know? Mediterranean. Yeah, that's probably, well, that's what it is. Like, yeah. Oh...
All right, so that's gift number one.
All right.
Can't remember if there's anything else I had to say about that.
No, but
let me check on the page. I think the gist of that was, hey, these are things that Zeph would never wear. Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah, I wouldn't wear it, but not for the reasons that you think.
I think it's for the reasons I think and for the reasons that you additionally think.
No, but again, because I'm wearing this flashing Christmas sweater, mm-hmm. that I can now see flash out of my peripheral vision. I think I'm going to have to take another picture
because when I took the picture before, you only half of the snowflakes were lit, and now much more...
Well, I guess it's just
a pattern. I think I guess they were moving across when I took the picture. But whenever you pick up a Kelly,
that's the front coming in. Yeah.
All right. What do you got for me?
What have I got for you? Well, I went to the What on Earth catalog, which was actually a catalog that you gave me. So a small catalog. And I actually tried to Google What on Earth to figure out who they were. But all I could get was their official site. And then I didn't want to dive in.
Not that much information.
Basically, What on Earth, they are a collection of really cool teas and stuff.
Well, and you're being very generous.
Well, no, that's not me. That's their tagline.
Oh,
I see. A collection of really cool teas and stuff.
Okay.
Well, it's a collection of really teas and stuff. I'm not sure how cool any of it is.
Yeah.
There is some stuff that I like. The T-Rex table lamp I would have got you.
Oh.
But I figured, frankly, they had a whole page up early. And obviously, they're not stupid. Star Wars is a boost to the economy. I know you're a big Star Wars fan, and I actually was going to ask you about the new film, but you've now announced to me that you haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
I was going to get you either a Star Wars suit.
Oh, yeah.
Which is matching a jacket and trousers. And again, now, this is ironic. Because of the reasons I've just given you about not wearing the onesie, I just said the exception is a suit. So by this rule,
you would wear
if
that.
You gave this to me, I wouldn't have any choice but to wear it because I couldn't come up with a nice excuse not to wear it other than I don't like that.
Yeah.
But actually, that wasn't what I was going to give you. I was going to give you a Star Wars Death Star waffle maker.
Oh, not the suit. You know, because the suit, I had the same catalog, obviously, because I gave you a copy of it. But I was going to give you the Christmas suit that had like the matching tops and bottoms of the suit.
Ooh, yes. I saw that a bit later.
But because of the fact that you were already going to cover this catalog, I didn't bother. The waffle maker, yeah, I mean, looks... looks like basic round waffles, and so, I mean, they're a pattern of the Death Star. Wouldn't be unreasonable to use that waffle maker. I'm okay with that.
I'll say this about the Star Wars suit. This was the thing that put me off. It was 100% polyester. You can wash it in a washing machine. It's a slim fit, so it's very trendy.
Oh, you know.
That's trendy. And it's $110.
Comes with a tie that matches it. So it's a three-piece suit, but the three pieces are top, bottom,
One of them is black and white, and it basically has pictures of Stormtrooper heads all over it, and that is the Stormtrooper's suit.
Yeah.
The other one just seems to have random Star Wars characters. I can see some of the robots, Star Wars written all over it, and it's called Strong Force. So I think it's a bit odd. It's a Strong Force. It's a Strong Force catalog. I also actually really liked myself the Han Solo in carbonite cutting board.
Yeah.
Nice. So my question.
Well, you know, a little bit about that catalog. I mean, not that I know a bunch of it, but I have the same. I'm realizing that that has a different cover, another version. It's the exact same inside. Like the pages are all the same, but there's another company called like Catalog Classics. That I'm sure they're the same company. Like, it's a slightly bigger catalog, but it's put together the same way and the same kind of junk T-shirts. And at some level, you look at this stuff and it's junk, but they clearly, either they or they buy from people who have legit licensing deals because they have the full spread of Star Wars. You're looking at a page here, full spread of Star Trek gear.
Well, I wanted to get...
You're covering... They've got all this...
I wanted to get to that in the conversation.
The Harry Potter stuff is in there. I mean, like, so this is not... It's not like... A complete junk in the sense, I mean, the material, who knows what they are. I'd really be fascinated to see what that suit actually looked like when you put it on. But
this was my thought though, because I almost wanted to give you something from Star Trek because I know that you are more of you're a Star Warsian rather than a Trekkie. Whereas I think I lean Trekkie. I'm not all the way in, but I lean Trekkie rather than Star Wars. I'm all the way in on James Bond, but I lean Trekkie. The Star Trek stuff I actually think is much better, whereas the Star Wars stuff, it just seems kind of tatty and forgotten about. Like the suits are cheesy and the waffle maker. Now, and before I get any further, no. I've got a serious point to make here. You can get a Star Trek Trivial Pursuit game, where the container looks like a shuttle and you put the cards on top. There's a Star Trek watch. There's good-looking mugs. The Star Trek pizza cutter looks pretty solid, and it's $40.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, and
how much was the waffle maker?
The waffle maker was $40 as well.
Well, the pizza cutter is a knife, basically.
But that looks solid. It's made with this solid zinc alloy chromium plated body has a laser etched stainless steel blade. Hand wash only. And the minute you say anything hand wash only, that means it's better.
But the other one has electrical parts in it, which, by the way, you need to give it to me so I can take a picture of it.
Okay, I will in a moment. And look at that very cool t-shirt, which I would wear. It's of the four main characters from Star Trek crossing the Abbey Road
album cover.
But I think my point here was, if you're the What on Earth catalog maker, and you talk there a little bit about licensing and this type of thing, I would imagine that Star Wars is so heavily controlled by Lucasfilm, by Disney, by whoever, that if you want to try and make some souvenir money around Star Wars, you're either A, doing it illegally, or you really are sniffing around the edges of the marketplace. Hence, goofy-looking suits and waffle makers. But Star Trek, much older franchise, exists in many different forms. I just found it interesting. There are no Star Wars mugs you can find in there. For Star Trek, there's Star Trek mugs everywhere.
Well,
no Star Wars t-shirts. Not of any quality, but is the Star Trek...
Right. I thought the issue would be that...
The Star Trek stuff looks kind of legit.
The marketplace for Star Wars is bigger, so they can go further.
I would challenge that assertion.
There's a lightsaber immersion blender. I think that might have been better than the...
Yeah, but what I'm saying is you can go to Toys R Us and you can get a lightsaber. Why do I want the lightsaber blender?
You can get it. We're trying to apply too much logic to this.
Okay, but what I'm saying is I just found it interesting. The Star Wars stuff seemed more forced. Like it was just an excuse to get Star Wars onto something. Whereas the Star Trek Trivial Pursuit game was all about Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
And I just found that interesting in terms of, like, I even looked through here, they have Doctor Who licensed games. So that's the official stuff.
They got a whole bunch of Marvel materials in there. Yeah. And meanwhile, it has that set of bad t-shirts with not funny sayings, they're ostensibly funny sayings, but they go on for pages of these t-shirts, things.
I really like the Captain America shield cutting board. It's round.
Yeah.
And it looks like his
shield. You know, all these cutting boards, they wouldn't be a smooth surface. And so they seem like bad choices. There are a couple of things in here, actually,
are smooth. It's just the way they look.
I know, they are smooth. Of course,
and that's what I'm saying.
But it's kind of weird that they would pick services that weren't smooth.
That stuff has the official Marvel emblem on it. So that's the real McCoy. Like, it's real.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the Star Wars stuff here basically looks like someone has sort of just forced, someone down there had a whole run of stuff, and they're like, okay, well, let's shove this on it and call it a Star Wars and get it out the door.
I just want to crimp some pages in this. Anyway, no matter.
So anyway, Pokemon, that's what I was going to give you from the What on Earth.
Right, well, I appreciate it.
What on Earth is a little, small catalog. I didn't know much about the company, but I did want to sort of make this point that I don't know how all these guys stay in business.
Well, the fact they send these things, I mean, I know it's cheap to send bulk mail, but it can't be. It's not free, and they send these catalogs. I think we've gotten at least 10 of those catalogs over the course of this fall and winter. So
you haven't seen the Star Wars movie yet? I know we did Star Wars on our last show. We did a sort of a preview of Rogue One. I was under the assumption you were going to see it, but you haven't, so I guess we can't talk about it. I watched the original Star Wars the other night, and I got to tell you something. I sat there and...
You mean like the New Hope, original?
Right? I don't know what it's called. The one that's called Star Wars. Yeah. I sat there and I thought, I'm watching it, and, with everyone in the household, and the consensus was... Yeah, this is a pretty cool movie.
Yeah.
But the more I watch it, the more I'm like, wow, Luke Skywalker's really kind of... He was really kind of annoying back then.
Yeah, sure.
And that was the first time last night I'm watching it going... We all fell in love as guys with Han Solo.
Yeah.
Right? But I think the idea was that Luke is sort of supposed to be your touchstone character. But I'm watching him last night. I've never liked the robots. They always annoy me. But I'm sitting there with Luke whining away, and I'm like, boy, he's kind of annoying. I didn't miss him in the last movie at all.
Well, it's the hero's journey. Is that what? That's why he's there. He's.
Is the hero's journey really to go from annoying to hero?
No, he was a reluctant warrior. Did not want to get involved in things, just and you had to come along.
Honest, and I'm like, So
the guy was twice orphaned over. I mean, he was already adopted, and then his adopted parents, they got wiped out during their first stage of the movie. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler, yeah.
For a 1977 movie,
I must confess. One of the cable channels, TNT, has been running they just run them all back to back in order. Now, I've never ever, but I did end up watching the last half an hour of where the dude becomes Darth Vader.
Right, where Hayden Christensen puts the suit on, basically.
Yes, and then the start of the one that...
That was the closest that series got to interesting.
It was interesting. I felt it was kind of fumbled around, but it was interesting. By the time the next one started, I was already starting to get confused with who's related to whom. And then in my mind, I kept thinking of the very latest Star Wars movie. And I'm like, there's all these bloodlines. It's like some episode of Dallas where someone shows up and it's like, yes, I'm a Ewing half-brother. So I want my share of the oil field. Do you know, it was all...
We'll get your diagram. Yeah.
All right. So anyway, that was my gift to you.
All right. Well, I got a quick one for you. This is almost like a sincere gift. Something called Zingerman's.
Spoiler. Zingerman's.
Okay. Which is like a food thing. And I was... You get a lot of food. I hadn't realized until I started flipping through them the number of...
I do want to comment.
Dean and DeLuca and all these things where it's this prepackaged food that you can have shipped to somebody, which is...
I did have a good look through the Harry and David catalog, and we'll touch back in a moment
as
we talk about food next. So why don't you hit me with something?
This one is England's Christmas cheese, Colston Bassett Stilton. British cheddar may have conquered America and subsequently lost some of its Englishness, but Stilton remains the national treasure and still the cheese to eat at Christmas in England. An exquisite, legendary blue with broad buttery flavors that linger well into the evening. I didn't even read that far. Selected by Neil's Yard Dairy. Just for us. Is Neil's Yard Dairy a famous thing? I don't know.
No, never heard of him. I've never heard of that brand of Stilton either.
A half pound hand-cut wedge is $21. Or you can get it by the pound for $40.
That's a lot of money for cheese.
Yeah. Well, you know, they got to ship it all the way from England, I guess. So somebody's got to build in the
I want to challenge.
Another food. Acorn-fed pork. It's all like from Spain, and these pigs, they only eat acorns.
Oh, really?
And it's supposed to make it taste really good. I thought about that, too. That's maybe more interesting. But English thing. I wanted to give you a touch of home.
I do have some side conversation that we're going to run from here. But the only thing I would say is I'm going to challenge this notion that somehow that English cheese has taken over the world. I didn't realize that.
Well, British cheddar may have
taken over the world.
It's kind of confusing because it's a blue cheese that they're talking about, but they're like British cheddar may have conquered. Very confusing.
The only cheese that I believe conquered the world was French Brie. I can't believe we're having a conversation now to decide which of these cheeses which is cheese more dominant the internationally. The Brie
that
is the
could
only
be a whole,
one.
We don't want to spoil it because that could be a whole podcast. Yeah. We could just do a cheese podcast talking about which cheeses are the best.
All right, so let me jump
actually,
over.
That's not even entirely a crazy idea. Listen, we've done coffee and beer.
Cheese show, yeah. I do. If you sent me that, I would eat it.
Sure, why not?
But I'm going to come back
in that's one of the things about the food stuff is... I was going to get something for somebody who has food, and I was reading it what it was. Like the bacon and things, like I was like, well, how do you send that? Because it doesn't say anything about it being refrigerated. And well, I guess technically bacon, if it's properly cured, doesn't need to be refrigerated. But
I've had steaks in them.
Mention that. I've gotten gift baskets where it has food in there. And clearly they had to really cut some corners in order to make it shippable to you.
Okay.
And so it's horrible, like some sort of sausage or something that would be much better if it was a refrigerated version. Instead, they send you the version that they can put in a package and it's bad.
I'm going to challenge those assertions. I do have a question for you before I do that.
What's the challenge? I'm right.
Well, no. One of the catalogs I went through, but I thought it was kind of mainstream to actually find a gift to recommend or to give you was the Harry and David catalog, and we're just shouting out different manufacturers here. I find their stuff is actually very nice, very tasty.
Oh, yeah.
And I have had their sausage, you know, that sort of salami sausage.
Yeah.
Very tasty. But I remember once I was trying to ship Harry and David back to the UK as a present for someone, and I couldn't do it.
That
wasn't allowed to do it.
Acknowledging you while I had my face in a cup of coffee.
I couldn't do it. I wasn't allowed to send it overseas.
Mm-hmm.
It was a Harry and David rule. Have you ever had Omaha steaks?
Yeah.
I have. And I was a bit freaked out. Someone sent it to me as a thank you.
Yeah.
And I was a bit freaked out at the notion of having a steak and some other products.
But that comes
in. But there'd been, what do you call it when it's shipped? Yeah,
it's frozen and then it's like packed in dry ice with a big styrofoam cooler. And, you know, because they, you know, nowadays, and we'll talk about it at some point because I've done a little bit of this now, is the Blue Apron. You know, the folks that ship you like pre-measured meal ingredients, and then you got a recipe to cook it at home.
Okay.
And they come in just a cardboard box with some ice packs around it.
Really?
It's a cardboard box, I should say. It's also got like an insulated bag, but they don't use the – Omaha uses these styrofoam coolers, and I had a family member who got a lot of Omaha steak stuff. And they had – I mean, these are decent size. They're not like even the thin stuff like you get at the 7-Eleven when you need a cooler at the last minute to carry your beer somewhere and you don't care if you lose it. Oh, you know, we use the cooler for our hamburger episode.
That's right, yes.
Right? Those things are big and blocky. And if you get this a lot, your house fills with styrofoam coolers. Like, how do you get rid of it? You can't even recycle styrofoam, I don't think.
I was actually surprised at how tasty.
You know, it's good stuff.
It was.
Yeah.
But I wonder, how do they make money? Because you've got to, but what I'm saying is, you've got to pay for all the shipping, you're paying for all this styrofoam. How are they making money? Because I think price-wise, they're quite affordable.
Yeah.
Anyway, I would take the cheese. I would eat that.
By the way, I forgot to mention, it says here, Stilton with toasted walnuts and port is the way Brits traditionally take it and take in Christmas.
Is that?
I was going to ask you. That's a question. I don't know. Okay.
Again, this is these companies claim that they're claiming some notion of a foreign culture in order to make you feel like you are in their culture.
Right below the picture is a pimento cheese and lip tower cheese. I don't know what that is, but they've got an American flag and this guy with spurs and a cowboy hat.
So because pimento is American.
Yeah, pimento.
Read us about that acorn
sure,
fed.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that actually sounds quite good.
Shocking. There's no other way to describe the experience of first tasting acorn-fed pork. In the oak forest of southern Spain, heritage Iberico pigs spend their lives rooting around on pasture. In the fall, when the ground is littered with acorns, they gobble them up. The acorn diet has a magical effect on the meat's texture. It appears to lower the fat's melting point to body temperature. Can't be true. Eating a thin slice is like placing a piece of chocolate on your tongue.
It immediately that can't puddles, be true blah, either. Blah, blah. So what is it? What are you getting? Are you getting bacon? You getting a pork butt? What are you getting?
You can get cured pork loin or Spanish cured ham or salami.
All right, so it's cured
bacon.
Meat.
I thought there was a
then.
Bacon somewhere.
So it's not something that you have to cook.
No,
Bruce. So. What I'm saying is talking about my experience with the mail order steaks that comes. You got to cook it.
I don't know. Oh no, this is it's a foot long boneless loin coated in barley, peppery paprika, and riddled with fat. Tiny creamy white flecks among the rosy flesh. It is astonishingly good to eat and will last months refrigerated. Guess what this cost? 1.1 pounds is $140.
What? To give?
Yeah. 1.5 ounces of this cured ham. 1.5 ounces sliced is $35. 10-pound bone-in shoulder ham is $500.
It must be good stuff.
Yeah.
Which then leads me to ask, why is it being sold mail order? I've never heard of it.
You know, there's actually an economic theory, not between the mail order thing, but there's an economic principle that whatever product you make at home and you're going to sell exporting,
okay.
You always end up selling the best version of it. Because it costs you the same to ship something somewhere. Like wine is a classic thing. So it costs you... A bottle of wine to ship it costs the same, no matter what's in the wine. And so your best investment when you look at the economics of it or best plan is to sell the stuff with the highest markup, highest margin, and use the shipping cost for that. Because selling a $5 bottle of wine that it costs you $5 to ship is not as good a money-making proposition as selling a $100 bottle of wine that costs $5 to ship. So maybe that's why. Maybe the ham is getting all shipped over through Zingerman's catalog.
I must say, $40 for a pound of Stilton seems a bit steep.
Yeah.
And I must say, I like my cheese, which we've already decided will be a separate show. I'm not entirely convinced.
We'll have a ham show.
If you put two Stiltons in front of me, I'm not entirely convinced.
Oh, you'd know the difference. I mean, I don't know if you know it was better, but...
that's what I'm saying. If you put Stilton from the store and then the very expensive $40 a pound Stilton...
Right. You might notice the difference. I mean, we knew different... You could tell differences between coffees and beers that are good. Like, it isn't the degree of the price. It, things aren't four times as good when they're four times the price, but you can generally tell when they're better.
Okay. Well, I might, frankly, I might have to actually, you might actually have to give me, I will go in on, what, we will, when we do the
I'm
cheese
I'm theoretically
show,
giving these things
we
to
are going to get the cheese and we're going to try it because I actually want to, we're going to do one of those things where we go back in time and go, you said this. I'm going to challenge that assertion that you can taste that kind of a difference.
Can I go with the second one? Because I know since Tim I have more up, gifts yeah. to give you, I'm going to go yeah. with the things. And because the price of this made me think of this particular gift. So here's a catalog. It's called Camp Home. Actually, it's Best Made Company is the company. It's out of New York City. They do apparently have a retail shop in New York City.
Okay.
The catalog, as you can see, is like very fancy looking.
Very nice, expensive.
It's got,
expensive
like, a, it's got like almost like a book binding yes. instead of a thing. But when you go to the website, the store in New York is, it is a camping store. It is a legit sort of buy camping gear. It
oh,
is
really?
Clearly like an upscale camping right, store.
So it's like
you know,
restoration
it's not like
going, because I was exactly. about to say,
but it is in fact that kind of store. So the thing they're selling here, it says deploy your field office. It's got a bit of a long description here.
Oh yeah,
it is, it's a field desk, and if people don't know what a field desk is, it's, you know, if you were a world traveler, it's something where you could flip out and do your writing on or
oh,
whatever you're going to
okay,
do.
Yeah.
And I thought
yeah.
this would be suitable for your, you know, artistic endeavors.
That would be a very nice gift that I would accept. How much is that?
So, well, so let me describe it first.
Describe it, yeah. Describe it, and I'm going to guess a price.
That'd be good, yeah. If the greatest naturalist and expedition leaders had not kept meticulous logs of their adventures, their stories would have never been told. Essential to the task is a field desk. Colon. Keep your supplies organized and your writing secure and have a ready surface that commands pen to paper. We designed the best made field desk with Gerstner case makers and legendary illustrator and artist Ross McDonald to recall an implement worthy of Hemingway, London, or service. Hemingway, London, or service. I guess they mean, I don't
if
know.
You're in the
service and author? No. This, London is Call the Wild Guy, right?
Oh yeah, Jack London.
His service.
I don't know. Spell it.
Anyway,
no
service.
We'll
the word service, but it's capitalized.
If you know who, it, if you know about that, please email us. AtlanticVoice@gmail.com.
I'm going to jump right to the attributes. Kiln dried American cherry, because of course, regular dried American cherry would not be, and we mean the wood here. It's not actual
okay.
cherries, but you know, kiln dried had to be kiln dried. Red leather writing surface, embroidered felt interior, leather Ooh. Carry handle, wool felt shoulder pad, brass hardware, made in the USA. What do you think it cost?
All right, but let me ask you a question first, though, because I'm looking at the catalog upside down.
Yeah.
Is it basically like something that sort of folds out into
yep.
a tray that
Man.
You put on
yeah,
your
yeah.
lap?
Yeah, so like it's got a hinge there, you see, and then it like folds. And it would look like a
very expensive
oversized
backgammon
briefcase.
Briefcase, basically. Backgammon type game.
Big
that's
enough that you need a shoulder
is.
Strap, and it's wood on the outside, so sort of like a suitcase, but then it folds out to be a desk.
Well, I mean, the fact that it's kiln dried.
Exactly.
$299.
No.
Not that much.
$1,850.
Oh my God. Jesus. Gee. Oh, wow. That's a lot of money.
Isn't that really generous of me to give you a $2,000 writing desk?
Sometime towards the end of part two, the very last thing I'm going to give you, it's going to blow your mind and it's going to make that $1,000 that you've just spent on me, it's going to make you look, to use my own words, like a minge bag. Because the one, the very last gift I give is going to blow your mind what I've got, what I've found.
All right, I'm looking forward to it.
That's an awful lot of money.
Yeah.
When basically, if you need to write on something, you just grab a book from somewhere and lean on that. Because you put it on your lap, right? Like, there's not little legs that come with it.
I guess
you
have
like
to
fold out coffee
no,
table,
I don't think
right?
so. It doesn't say that. But this catalog had, like, the thing that threw me off, it had hatchets, and it has hatchets.
Ooh, I'd take one of
with
those.
Like, I looked and I thought, maybe these are different types of hatchets. No, they're hatchets with different color handles. Blue, green, famous red, yellow, unfinished, or matte black. Each hatchet, $80 to $88.
All right.
Pretty sure you can get a Home Depot hatchet for about, you know,
$15, $17.
But a lot of enamelware stuff.
I do like
stuff.
Those metal cups, the plated cups.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's some nice stuff. And so, you know, if you can convince somebody to spend this money on, I don't need a writing desk, but I like the enamelware is pretty cool. And it's all designed, I guess, if you live in New York City. And,
grooming scissors.
And you have a cabin up in the...
some guy in a robe, although why you would take a robe with you when you're camping seems a little much. I don't know.
waxed cotton parka for $798.
That's a lot of money. You can get a barber for half that, and and barbers are a lot of money.
Yeah.
I know, because I've got two. Let me ask you a question about this company. You say they do have a retail front in New York City. Mm-hmm. Have you seen one anywhere else on your travels? Do they list them anywhere else?
No, there aren't any. When I went and looked it up, it's the only place they have a store.
Interesting. So, but that's interesting to me. They have a single store, and now they have this very big retail thing. Oh, sorry, this very big sort of catalog thing. I wonder if they were the catalog, and then they opened a store.
No, I think it's I think it's an old store. I imagine. I mean, we're going to come to that.
I think in part two we're going to come to that.
You think we'll be talking about them?
Because I do have one more in part one.
There's a segment of, well, let's talk about it then, like later on. But but there's certain stores that have been around longer than you think, and I think they almost get dragged into being something different because they get caught up. Like this place was undoubtedly a New York camping store, and then it got frequented by rich people. They could charge more. And then somebody was like, well, this is like a lifestyle now we can sell, you know?
All right. So we now have that. So the table. But we started with some food. And I guess this one is kind of apt. And again, I don't like getting gifts. I also don't like giving gifts. So you might sit out there and criticize this gift. This is from Pottery Barn.
Mm-hmm.
So
one of the main catalogs, which reminds me, this is
a legit thing, and it's Pottery Barn, and it's Holiday 2016. So on the cover is a picture of, I think it's a lady. Well, no, there's no head, and
I think it's like the feet up.
She is feeding her bulldog,
she's a foot model, basically. Yes, you know,
he has like a red and white
scarf,
leash or something around him. And so just those colors alone make you think Christmas,
right?
So I opened it up thinking, ooh, Christmas catalog, and I start looking through, and I'm gonna put the boot into Christmas catalogs a little bit. A lot of this Pottery Barn stuff is just their regular stuff, but every fourth page there's something that seems vaguely Christmassy. So
this is perfect. This will tie in right into the Williams and Sonoma thing.
So here's what I wanted to give you from here. And to show that we're multi-secular on this show, I wanted to give you some Happy Hanukkah plates. So they have a set of, and I'm going to get into this here, and I'm not. They have a different dinnerware, plain white dinnerware, set 16-piece sets for anything from $100 to $180. It's pretty good stuff. But I'm looking at it going, well, this is just plates.
Yeah, it does. I'm looking at this, other than the fact that they put them on a blue tablecloth, it does seem to be just plates. Yeah,
now they do have one set of plates, and let me look for it here. It is the Tree of Life menorah salad plates.
Okay.
They're $48. But all this other stuff is just white crockery. Each set. That's for a set of four, for 9-inch plates. But everything else is just basically white crockery, but they have the nerve to list it all as Happy Hanukkah gear.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the heck is that?
Mm-hmm.
The Festival of Lights is a special time when friends and family gather around the table from the first day of candlelight to the last. Set a beautiful table with our stylish decor and centerpieces in the traditional color palette. Now, I don't want to put the boot in the Hanukkah. If your official color is white, well, anyone could use that.
You know, I don't know.
So I'm not having a go at you out there, Happy Hanukkah fans, but I'm putting a boot into Pottery Barn that basically, it looks to me like they had a couple of different white serving sets that didn't sell well and they need to get rid of them.
Could be.
They've rebranded it on the Happy Hanukkah page.
You know, now, Hanukkah, you often seem connected with blue, but I don't know if it's
because there's any traditional.
Yeah. Well, the plates up top are got some
and they
blue,
have little designs that like some of them have like little designs around the brims. One of them looks like it has raised dots.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know enough about
traditional raised dots of Hanukkah.
Well, but are they?
I don't know.
So this is my point here. I'm like, I'm angry at Pottery Barn. Frankly,
seems a little excessive.
I'm angry on Pottery Barn on behalf of the Jewish people that somehow they are attempting to co-opt Hanukkah by getting rid of some of their excess stuff.
But I do know, if anybody knows why blue, other than the fact that it's not green and red, I don't know if that's the reason that blue is Hanukkah, because people, it just evolved to that as a counterpoint, and it's at least wintry. You know, the blue and white is at least wintry looking.
But again, all this crockery is white. But I'm now going to say this to you. Again, as someone who's not into this whole gift thing, I'd rather give you this. Let's say you were Jewish, which you're not. But let me say you were, and I'm there thinking, ooh, I could get him the Tree of Life menorah salad plates, or I could just get him a set of white plates. I would give you the white plates, Because one of the things I hate about Christmas is people give you stuff that's just got Christmas on
it. Don't get me place settings. Then I have to like fill it out. Like the problem with the plate, unless you're going to get me
all 12
settings and all the different items, I don't want a partial plate setting.
If I gave you a Chelsea plate, you're sitting there going, ooh, I can use that all year.
Yeah, an individual
one. But if I gave you a Christmas plate or any Kwanzaa plate, whatever plate, if I gave you that plate, you're looking at me going, I can only use that.
That's okay.
During these couple of weeks of the year.
I'm flexible that way.
So what I'm saying is I have a problem with regular stuff that's been dressed up as Christmassy stuff because it's just another set of plates and mugs and whatever that you're never going to use.
All right. That's fine with me. So I'll take this conversation another direction.
Okay.
I think that I don't want that gift. It's all right. Just give me cash. I noticed as you were flipping through there that there is some Christmas stuff and they are heavy on the plaids. And so Drew Magary from Deadspin does a Haters Guide to various things. I don't know if he'd done the catalog thing before, but he did a Haters Guide to Williams and Sonoma catalog.
Which we both read.
He commented that tartan is the thing. Like, it's all over the place. And there's these pages with tartan. And the funny thing is, I got the catalog, and there were some pages with tartan, but it was not as much as the red. And so I have this catalog open to a page, and it says, it's basically festive red gifts. They have here a knife block in red enamel, a couple of pans with red enamel, a thing for spiralizing your food, red enamel.
Is that a red toaster oven?
A red toaster oven, a red popcorn maker, a red blender, a red pizza grill, a red hand-rolled pasta machine. So I thought to myself, a couple of these items, okay, fine. And listen, if you happen to choose you have a red kitchen, then maybe you're going to do this. I don't know a lot of people have red kitchens, but
unless they haven't had updated their kitchen since 1978.
But I did wonder the fact that you're pitching it as a holiday thing, are they thinking that, and maybe there's some set of people out there, I don't know, some very rich people who have different toaster ovens for different times of the year. Like they have a red toaster oven, and when in the fall, they've got a orange toaster oven, and in the middle of the summer, they get red, white, and blue. I guess they can bring out the red toaster oven again, they just need some other white and blue to counterpoint it. But who's... Like, this is a weird pitch for the holiday, because unless my decor fits this red stuff, I'm not going to get it for somebody because it's red. I guess the pizza thing, the pizza thing goes in a cabinet, and so you just pull it out for that. But a blender or a toaster oven, that doesn't make any sense to have in a particular color.
I'm going to agree with you, but I'm also going to disagree with you.
Well.
And one of the things with this red, and it's no different than the Pottery Barn just flogging the white stuff and just putting Hanukkah across the top of the page as a way to boost sales. Obviously, when I look at the photo, the layout there across two pages where everything is red. They've even painted the background of the room red. Yeah. So it is red on red. The only thing that's not red is anything that has to be a metal color. If you gave any one of those things individually, you're just giving someone something that's red.
Right.
And so in a strange way, it's this sort of bait and switch. It's Christmassy. But in a strange way, in terms of what I've just said, I can use it all year, so I don't have a problem with it. One of the tartan now, I'm different about that. To me, the tartan is clearly, because it's Christmas colours tartan, because it's not Scottish tartan, because if it's not Scottish, it's crap.
Well, I heard a story about Scottish tartan when we were over there, apparently it's all a big scam.
One of the things that he actually, that Drew Magary, who we will add Drew Magary, because again, I think he's very, very funny, he puts the boot into one of the things he picked from the Williams and Sonoma catalog was the tartan Le Creuset big and sort of Dutch ovens. Mm-hmm. I think those things are brilliant. I remember buying mine. I have a Le Creuset one. I have the name brand. I don't have the knockoff brand. I have a name brand in kind of like an orangey red, dark red.
Yeah.
The tartan one is exactly the same one. It's about $90 more. And I'm like, I can understand why you would hate on Williams and Sonoma for that.
Yeah.
Because it seems like. You really are now. You're just trying to move stuff. You're rebranding it to move it at the season.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have a problem. Again, if you just had like a red pot on another spread, and this was in the July catalog, we wouldn't think anything of it. But the fact that they've put everything red on one page and then tried to make out that somehow it's Christmassy, it's a bit of a scam. Can I as we expressed towards the end, do you have something else on that? Because I now want to tell a story.
No, I don't think so. Let me just see. Yeah.
Then can I digress for a moment with a personal story about mm-hmm. Christmas colors?
All right. Please do.
Many years ago, I was back in London visiting my father. And you've heard of the Dorchester Hotel. Famous hotel in London. Very expensive. if you look at it back in history, it's the place where the Beatles stayed, and very expensive hotel. Back in the day, in the basement of the Dorchester Hotel, the hotel restaurant was called the Dorchester Club. And it was sort of a restaurant and sort of dining club. Now, it no longer exists. It's now, as is the case with other modern hotels and resorts, they have some named chef in there doing this sort of thing. So I remember one time my father took me to the Dorchester Club for dinner. Food was pretty decent. And I'm like, I'm at the Dorchester Club, a famous name from, you know, England of the...
And you were very 40s, familiar with famous names 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. When you were, 70s, whatever age you were.
No, this was I was an adult here.
Oh, okay. So
I went for dinner. Myself, so and then on the way out, one of my dad's mates had actually got from me from the Dorchester Hotel gift shop, a Dorchester Club tie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very nice rep tie, which is the diagonal bars. Yep. It's red and green. It's a very cool tie. Every time I wear it in my workplace... Someone goes, you've got your Christmas tie out. And I look at them and I go, no, it's a Dorchester Club tie. And on the back side...
You're a little hostile there.
I am hostile because the Dorchester, it's like saying, I'm trying to think of what I don't know, what's the famous, is there a New York equivalent, like the Manhattan Club? Like one of these sort of...
Metropolitan Club or Yale Club.
And it's not, when I look at it, it's not even, like if it was a Christmas tie, it'd be a nasty Christmas tie because it's not the right red. And yet, time I wear it,
It is near impossible to wear green and red at any
other.
There's no schools that are green and red.
And my problem now is that when I open my drawer to put on a tie in September, when I reach for the, I haven't worn my Dorchester Club tie in a while, then I suddenly have this thing like people are going to go, it's the wrong time of year for your Christmas tie.
And do you wear it around Christmas time or do you not wear it during Christmas time for spite?
For spite. Yeah. Yes, I do for spite because I also don't want people...
They don't want them thinking that you have Christmas spirit.
Because it's not, no, I don't want people thinking I'm wearing some cheesy green and red tie for Christmas because it's a Dorchester Club tie. It's the exclusive dining club that no longer even exists.
Yeah.
And I feel like that famous bit of dining history has been completely undone by Christmas co-opting these colors. Red, white, green, what the hey? Look at that! You know, at that Williams and Sonoma page where everything is red. Now it's just red stuff.
Yep.
Yet they've tried to rebrand it as Christmas, and I've got a problem with that.
Yeah. Reminds me of one other thing I did want to mention about that the Williams Sonoma. The other thing they have a lot of, they have two pages of peppermint bark related candies. And I know Drew had a thing about peppermint bark. Where do you come out on peppermint bark? Which if people don't know what it is, it's basically like a layer of chocolate and then a layer of white chocolate with peppermint bits in it.
I don't...
And it's usually all cracked apart.
Yeah, I like good peppermint bark. The Ghirardelli peppermint bark, I like it. Yeah. But I find that I'm the sort of person, you give me one of those big bar of chocolates, give me a hot cup of tea, I'll finish the whole thing.
Yeah, well, and the bark is designed to be, because it's all broken up in the tin, and you're just like, well, I'm just going to have this one piece.
I
don't have a whole wrapper.
I do have a nausea ceiling with peppermint bark. There comes a certain moment where I'm heading towards overload, and I'm like, I need to stop because I'm feeling a bit sick.
I set this up for this discussion because...
To do it.
I was a huge fan 2 years ago when it was sort of a new thing. I was like, this is what a great addition to Christmas. Well, it's not...
Years.
Yeah, but it became much more popular the past couple of years, and it would show up more often than... I didn't have any peppermint bark when I was a kid. I don't know about you, but nowadays it's more like, there's two pages in this catalog for it. And... I had a piece this year, and I was like, might be done with that. It's fine. It's very good. It's good, but it's not like before. It was novel, and now that's not novel. It's just peppermint. It's not really any different than a peppermint patty or other types of peppermint chocolate slash candies.
But you know something? It co-ops these colors, and you can flog it as Christmas, and that. I think that adds
it doesn't have any green in it, but maybe that's coming next.
But
wintergreen bark, right?
Have you ever had it where it's peppermint bark and it more like bars and someone has embedded cranberries or some sort of red fruit into it? Like you can get different versions now. Yeah, disgusting. just give me a big bar. Give me one of those big mega 10-pound bar Kit Kat bars you can get in those stores. I'll shovel back the whole thing. Put a ribbon on it and call it Merry Christmas.
So
we're good. I think towards the end of part one.
Yeah, I think so. I think I'm looking ahead of the catalogs for part two, and I think it might be a little bit more clothing oriented, at least on
a bit more clothing oriented and some more side stories. But anyway, this was part one of the 2016 Christmas special. I'm Zeph,
and I don't think the second part will come. Sorry, I don't think the second part will come out until after Christmas, right? So Merry Christmas to everybody, because you might...
We will do it that way, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to record this all in one, because we don't work over the holidays. Yeah, no, they won't, because we shut down.
This will come out the couple of days before Christmas, so the next one...
We'll do the next one the week after Christmas. We'll give you two in a row back-to-back.
There you go. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. And do you want to... We'll talk about it on the next show.
Okay.
This has been the Atlantic Voice Podcast. I'm Zeph.
And I'm Eric. Take care.
You've just enjoyed Eric and Zeph on the Atlantic Voice Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at @Atlantic_voice. You can find the show at Libsyn.com, iTunes, and of course at AtlanticVoice.net. Email us at AtlanticVoice@gmail.com. And now on YouTube, search for The Atlantic Voice. The Atlantic Voice, 3,000 miles of opinion.